Jerry Bader Show, 10:06. Well, they're going to notice that there's no classic cut, so I can't just pretend. So we'll do what we always do when Jason, and by the way, he didn't screw up. It's just been a crazy, I asked him to do something extracurricular that he was working on technically. So when you didn't pick a classic cut, we'll do what we always do. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. First one in with a request, and assuming Jason can find it, our library in our system here is not exhaustive because we're not a rock station. We just make it sound that way sometimes. We're not a rock station, but if he's got it, he'll play it. And he can search. That is one nice thing. Well, there's several nice things about that software. But he can search very quickly. So first one in, and you can make the request. And he's talking to Jason right now. And Jason's going to see if he has it. And Jason will tell me if, in fact, he has it. Play, listen, if you don't have what he wants, play anything from that group. Okay, this is bizarre. I was going to request Jethro Tull. And the caller has requested Jethro Tull. And he's going with the one I wanted. This is so exciting. This is what I was going to request. This very song, dude. This very song, I swear to you, I was going to request this song.
Sitting on the park bench, I knew girls with bad intent. Snot running down his nose.
Jerry Bader Show, 10:09, Jethro Tull, Aqualung. Funny, the friend that's helping me work out, kind of acting as my trainer, we got talking about groups. He goes, yeah, Jethro Tull, he never really got. They were just kind of there. I'm a huge Tull fan. Not their biggest commercial success, but the album Songs from the Wood. I have no idea what the lyrics to this song mean. I have no clue. Same, Locomotive Breath, another good tune. Bungle in the Jungle, you've got that one. Just a very unique sound. The flute, the vocals. All right. Let's start this hour with this. The Minnesota Vikings are building a new stadium. As such, the Minnesota Vikings need a place to play this year. Well, they have one. University of Minnesota. Outdoors. Remember what happened when they had to play there briefly and Brett Favre ended his career? That was fitting, though, on that cold. I told you he was going to be carried off. I knew that's how his career was going to end. Do you know how stupid it was that he played in that game? That he was at about 40%, if that. Well, they're going to play in the open-air school stadium in Minneapolis. The University of Minnesota is suddenly putting a provision on that. Now, I suppose the University of Minnesota could just say, do what we want, or you've got no place to play your little NFL games this fall. Jason, did you hear what they want? You didn't hear what they want. You have any guesses? Any guesses as to what they might want? Money. Now, there you go being logical again. If you got someone over a barrel, what's the most likely thing you would want to extract? You You being, I should say, extort. You, like being most human beings, I decided you're not paying me enough. Now, if you don't like that, what are you going to do? Where are you going to play your games? Okay. So Minnesota Vikings would probably have to pony up the money. Tickets to the game. See, you're thinking intrinsic value. University of Minnesota seeks to bar Redskins' name at school's stadium on Vikings game day. The University of Minnesota is working with the Vikings in an effort to keep the Washington Redskins' name from being used in promotional and game date materials during the NFL team's November 2nd game at the school stadium in Minneapolis, according to an August 1st letter from University President Eric W. Kaler to U.S. Representative Betty McCollum, Democrat, Minnesota. It is unclear to what degree the Vikings are collaborating in this process. Kaler was responding to a June letter from McCollum to Minnesota Vikings owner Ziggy Wilf, to which the university president was copied, urging the owner to condemn the Redskins' team name. McCollum argued that Wilf needed to take a stand against the hateful slur because of all of the NFL teams split their sales of the licensed merchandise equally. And what has become the liberal mantra? What card do they play? What card do liberals play to win the debate? They say the debate is over. Global warming. The debate is over. That's just what they do. The time for debate has ended. The name of the Washington franchise is clearly an offensive racial slur, McCollum wrote to Wilf. I urge you, as an NFL team owner, to not remain silent on this matter any longer. Redskins spokesman Tony Willey said Wednesday night that the team disagrees with the school's effort to bar the Redskins' name for the game at TCF Bank Stadium, the University of Minnesota Stadium. We have met many Native Americans from Minnesota who agree with our position and feel we are using the term correctly and honorably, he said. Lester Bagley, the Vikings' executive VP of public affairs, said Wednesday night that the team is still deciding how it will handle the college's request to eliminate the use of the Redskins' name for the November 2nd game. He said Vikings and school officials met once on the issue in late July at the university, but plan on further talks between now and November. We take the issue very seriously, but we're just getting ready for our season, and we've been very focused on training camp and the preseason. And to be honest, we don't have a game plan for our November 2nd game versus Washington, Bagley said. Daniel Snyder, the Redskins owner, recently went on ESPN 980's The Drive with former player Chris Cooley and defended the team name and cited other pro sports teams, Atlanta Braves, Kansas City Chiefs. McCollum wrote the letter. Actually, let me stop there. This exposes something. See, and this is what I've said, and listeners misconstrued it. You're right. They could go play at the North Dakota Dome. Have you been there? It's amazing. Just the whole campus is just, it's amazing there in Fargo. Just beautiful. Yeah, it's for a school that size, there can't be another college that has a dome stadium. Is there that size? I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I don't think it houses enough people for an NFL game. I don't think it does. But here's something that gets revealed here. Why aren't they? They inadvertently are giving up something in this debate. Why aren't they going after the Chiefs and Braves as aggressively? Really not at all. Or the Cleveland Indians. Why the Redskins? Jason says because it points to the color of the skin. And I've agreed, I don't think they should change their name. What I've said is if any is racist, then it would probably be that one. But then what? Here's what they're inadvertently saying. The other ones don't offend them as much. And that they're not all universally offensive, which has been my point. It just shows that there is degrees here. McCollum wrote the letter in the wake of the decision of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to cancel the Redskins' trademark registration, which really means nothing. McCollum alleged the Redskins' presence at the University Stadium, listen to this, would violate the institution's Board of Regents policy on affirmative action, diversity, and equal opportunity. She also noted the stadium was built with funding from a Native American tribe. It was unclear whether the university decided to take its own actions based on McCollum's encouragement. The university is hosting all of the Vikings' home games, while the NFL team awaits construction of its new stadium. The Vikings are paying the university $250,000 per game. Now, this is an effort to simply, and by the way, a lot of publications do not refer to the Washington Redskins as the Washington Redskins, just as Washington, or the team from the nation's capital. What's happening is they are trying to marginalize the Redskin name out of existence, not recognize it. Again, the debate is settled. You don't think it's offensive? We just won't use your name. Now, a friend pointed something out. What about the heritage of the Vikings? The Vikings were invaders. They did. That's what they did. The warfare and violence of the Vikings were often motivated and fueled by their beliefs in Norse religion, focusing on Thor and Odin, the gods of war and death. In combat, the Vikings are believed to have engaged in a disordered style of frenetic, furious fighting, leading them to be termed berserkers. Such tactics may have been deployed intentionally by shock troops who may have induced this mental state through ingestion of materials with psychoactive properties, such as hallucinogenic mushrooms or large amounts of alcohol. Wait, there's more. The Vikings established and engaged in extensive trading networks throughout the known world and had a profound influence on the economic development of Europe and Scandinavia. Except for the major trading centers of Ribe, Hedeben, and the like, the Viking world was unfamiliar with the use of coinage and was so based in so-called bullion economies, silver, so on, so on, so on. All right, where does it... It gets here to where they're slave traders. Why can't I find that? Slaves, known as thralls in Old Norse. On their raids, and they were raiders, the Vikings captured many people. Now listen, this is what the Minnesota Vikings celebrate. Slaves, known as thralls in Old Norse. On their raids, the Vikings captured many people, among them monks and clergymen. They were sometimes sold as slaves to Arab merchants in exchange for silver. They were raiders, looters, and slave traders. But it's okay to celebrate them on an NFL helmet. Rapists and pillagers. But that's okay. Don't have a problem with that. Let's see. There are other things you get in. They were ruthless warriors. But that's okay. Oh, no, we're just honoring what proud warriors. Oh, that's okay for some, huh? Well, isn't that interesting? It's 10:21.
Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.